We're talking about the war chest, but this morning we're going to take off on talking about the courage to have a spiritual family, or the courage that it takes to turn a family toward God. Now let me tell you, things won't happen accidentally in your life. If things just happen off the wall accidentally, you can know this. The devil didn't see your life as much of a threat. But if you have found that situations are difficult at times in your life, that tells you one of two things. It tells you two things, really. If you're facing hard issues, number one, God is expecting you to gain His strength and to gain His word. God wants to teach you some things with what you're going through that you can eventually turn around and use those things for His glory. So God's going to teach you some secrets. If you're going through some things, you need to say, this wasn't sent to defeat me. This was sent just to educate me for the glory of God. God's going to help me to have secrets to be able to defeat the powers of darkness. The second thing that you know, that if you're being fought with issues and circumstances, that God's got a great calling on your life. The devil really only fights people, fights families that have callings of God. There's things that God wants you to accomplish in this life for Him. And so the way that the devil does, he says, I'm going to come against that life. I'm going to come against that marriage. I'm going to come against that home. And what the devil's trying to do is stop you. That's okay, honey. Jesus is still the great power. You hold on. You claim the promises. You lay hold on the promises of God. God's going to bring you through this thing. And this thing is what was meant to be bad. You're going to watch it turn for glorious good in your life. God has a miracle. So the enemy is trying to use this to destroy you. But God said, no, your life is special. If you're being targeted by the devil, there's a reason you're a target. And the reason you're a target is because you're special to God. Amen. Now, if everything's going hunky-dory for you, and been going hunky-dory for most of your life, then I just dare say you probably won't be 2 cents for God. But if you're being fought, how many's been fought on some? Sure. That's because God's got something so special in your life. And God's going to help you get there, and the devil's trying to stop it. But that's okay. You hold on to Jesus, see? See, our troubles don't drive us from God. Our troubles drive us to God. And when we face issues, it just forces us to God more. And so we learn to trust Him more and more. And so really what God's doing, He's sending us to His Bible school at the devil's expense. Really and truly. I mean, we're learning how to defeat the devil more and more. And then one day, just like it was with Moses, what Moses had practiced up to that time was household. Then it came a time where God said, now, Moses, I want you to lead my people. Amen. There's a coming forth. So we're going to talk about the courage to fight for your family. I want to talk to you today. There are 7 major spiritual things. Now, usually at this time of the year, Lane and I are talking about the 10 most important things for the man, the 10 most important things for the woman, or we're teaching on communication, and those are all necessary things. But there must be a foundation first that's laid in your life spiritually for any of those things to work. Because one thing for sure, you can become the best communicator in the world and still have a broken family. Amen. We first got to get this level laid, spiritual strength, a spiritual foundation laid. And if we can get a spiritual foundation laid, then God can use all these wonderful things, add these other things to our life. But I've watched so many people be fooled by the enemy. And they say, well, if I could just get him to listen. Well, honey, he needs to first listen to God. Amen. Before he's ever going to be worth anything to you. But if he'll listen to God, he will listen to God care about you. Amen. That's why I said, well, if she just shut up. Well, let me tell you what. God wants to do something spiritual in your family that will lay such a spiritual foundation that she won't shut up, but she'll begin to speak what God's calling her to speak, and God will begin to use her in your life mightily. Praise God. All right, so I'm going to talk to you about seven things. Now, I may only get to one, and so we'll just kind of talk as far as we got time here. But the important thing is, I ask the Lord, God knows where you are. He knows what each one of us are facing at any particular time. I'm trusting the Lord to some way use me this morning to speak the right thing. That there will be something in this that will speak into your relationships, that will speak into your marriage, or speak into your situation with your children, speak into your relationships with coworkers. But I believe that God knows what your most urgent need is. A lot of times we don't. A lot of times I have to come to God and say, God, what is step one? But the Lord knows. And I'm trusting the Lord. Would you just pray that with me? Would you mind doing that real quick? Lord, I yield myself to you. Lord, that whatever that you want spoken, Lord, will be that you want spoken in this hour. Lord, I desire to just be a mouth for the Lord, a mouthpiece for you, God. Lord, you know, in my natural, in my physical sense, there is not that could bless anyone. But Lord, you can bless everyone. So Lord, ask your power in Jesus' name to be revealed. I yield myself to you. All right. Seven spiritual ways to fight for your family. Now, let's get a little bit of background about talking about fighting for your family. One thing for sure, you're only going to have victories if you first win battles. If you're losing every battle with your family, no, there's going to be no victory in the outcome. You've got to begin to determine, God's going to help me to win. Because see, it's not just winning the outcome. Every battle is important. Every battle that you're going through, everything that's coming against you in your family, is an important area that God wants to defeat. You can't skip. You can't leap over. You've got to be able to be satisfied with where God has you right now, fighting what battles that God knows you need to fight. A lot of times, I did that for years. I said, Lord, this is such an elementary battle that Lane and I are fighting. Now, I'm married. I've been married for 44 years. And I tell you what, I love my honey more today than I ever have. But we didn't start out there. I cannot tell you, I do not have enough fingers on both hands to tell you the times that we've separated. I can't tell you on times on both hands that Lane didn't know where I was or I wouldn't know where she was. That was our beginning years. And even though I had the Lord during those periods of time, I found out, man, you can just have Jesus in your heart and be so wrong in your head. You understand? So it takes more than just the Lord in your heart. You've got to begin to win battles. You've got to begin to promote victory in your home. And then as you do, then the ultimate outcome. Now, I love my honey, I tell you what. And we have as close to what I call a heaven on earth. But I tell you what, I can relate to people as having hell on earth too. Because our first years were literally that. They were hell on earth. Trying our best to come to a place to understand how God could take this that he put in our heart and some way get this to work out here. Years and years. But I'm so thankful. How many are thankful that God progresses you? Hallelujah! You know. Well, we may not be perfect yet, but God knows we're not where we used to be. Amen. And so the Lord's helping us. Amen. The Lord's helping us all. So we want to, wherever we are, see, contentment, the Bible says, is of vital importance. You got to be content where you are, realizing this is not where I want to be. And this is not where I'm going to be, but this is where I am. And I'm going to deal with where I am, while God's getting me to to where He wants me to be. So if you're going to be involved in family, you're going to have battles. I know no perfect families. I know no perfect husband but one, and his name is Jesus. And he's the perfect one in every area of his life. Amen? So we have to determine, with make this commitment to fight. Now, Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And that's just the truth of the matter. Unless God is involved in your marriage, unless God is involved in your home, unless God's involved in your relationships, you're just going to build, as I said earlier when I was talking about this, you're going to build a shabby shack. You're not going to have anything that you're going to be thankful for. But if you will allow God to do His work in us, and allow God to do His work in our family, God will take wherever it is now, and God will continue the work until it becomes a masterpiece for His glory. And God wants your home, He wants your family, to become such an example that others will look at you and say, I want to serve a God that you serve. Because if God could help you, then I believe that God can help me. Amen? All right, so the Lord wants to build it. Now, this is a picture. Go to the next one, if you would, Joe. This is a picture of... Whoa, where are you guys at? All right, just go to the next picture for me. Oh, we don't have it? You mean they're going to have to take my word for it that I'm preaching the truth? Wow. The picture of a family that we usually see a mom and dad and kids and standing. We see them as a happy holiday. We see it as the Leave It to Beaver household. But let me tell you what, there's no Leave It to Beaver households today. There's cracks and there's divisions and there's hurts and there's pains in every home. But Jesus is the healer of every tear. Amen. Bottom line in every situation is, you got to know, there's nothing that's been torn that Jesus cannot heal. In fact, the word healer means that in the word Hebrew. Jehovah Rapha means God is the sower. It's a picture of a lady with a thread and a needle. God is able to sow me back together. But now there's another picture of that same. In fact, there's two pictures that show, that reveal God as our healer. The first one is a cutting. God, a lot of times, first has to allow things to be revealed. We don't want that. And we usually think this is so bad. But God knows, as long as things are hidden, they can never be healed. So no matter how ugly it is underneath the threshold, you've got to allow God to lift it up and bring that dirt out. And God has to have confidence in you. As He begins to reveal just how much wrong is there, He's got to have confidence in you. Amen. That you'll stand and you'll praise Him. And you'll say, God, it doesn't matter how bad things are. All that matters, God, is what I know that you're going to do. This thing has to be torn if it's ever going to be healed. Amen. Now, with one of my sons of the Lord, he was hurt several years ago. He was one of our pastors. And he had carried a group of our people off, and he had fallen, and he had cut a large gash in his knee, which he just thought it would be okay. Next thing I heard, he was in the Little Rock hospitals, and they were not good words they were speaking over him. I went there and I stood beside him. I had no idea they still did this. The doctor there in the emergency room, there with me in that room, He said, I've got to cut his knee open. He said, but I can't give him a thing. Because if I give him a thing, then it's going to some way disannul. It will not allow that infection to leave out of there. I stood there and watched him. David, one of those old wooden things I used to see on television. They put that in his mouth. They put me holding the other hand. And they said, you pray, he'll bite, and I'll cut. I'm going to tell you what, I stood with him there, and I hated the pain. I saw that young man go through such agony and such pain as they took their scalpels and began to open him up in ways that I could not even dream. But I knew all the time it had to be opened if it was going to be healed. And tell me why in the world, when God began to expose that there's anger here, there's resentment here, there's bitterness here, why we want to run and hide our head under the rug. When we don't realize there's things that God wants to heal, but before He can heal them, He must expose them. So if it's me that God's exposing it in, and God has had to do that many a time. Many a time God has had to reveal to others just how ugly I was on the inside so that they could then believe God with me, for God to remove that pain out of me and God to bring a healing into my life. Amen. I tell you what, the Lord will use the healing process to remove your pride and to form a humility in your life. It'll soon come to a place, if you really want your family healed, it'll soon come to a place you'll be the biggest advertisement any problem that you got. Because you realize when pain is there, it must be opened. But if it is opened, God said, I'll sew up with my needle and thread. I'll show up. And God said, I will be able then to take your pain. And I'll begin to sew it up for my glory. Amen. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 7, 8, a lot of times we don't realize this about God. I want to expose one of God's secrets to you. I want to share something with you about God that you possibly didn't know. A lot of times people that's been through divorce, and if you haven't probably been through a divorce, you've probably been rejected by people in your life that literally hurt you so deeply. And a lot of times we look at God and we say, God, how in the world could you understand what I'm feeling? But I want you to know, you're serving a God that can be touched with every feeling that you have. He understands the feeling of being torn and rejected and the pain and the agony associated with that. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it exposes a side of God that we don't realize a lot of times. At this time, God has revealed Himself as the husband. In Jeremiah chapter 3, and Israel is His bride. But for years now, Israel has went after other lovers, went after other gods. That's why the books of Isaiah and the books of Jeremiah are just filled with God saying, come back to me, come back to me. And it's almost in this God that they're saying, come back, come back. I love you so much. But she continued to go after other lovers. And that's where we find in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 7, 8, where God speaks. He said, I thought after she had done all this, she would return to me. But she did not return. And her faithless sister Judah saw this. Verse 8 said, she saw that I divorced faithless Israel. Now, if you have the King James Version, it said, I wrote her a writing of divorcement. What we fail to realize that God knows the pain of going through a divorce. God saw Himself. The greatest place of intimacy God could form was to form Himself as a husband and Israel as his bride. As a good husband, he always took care of her, always provided for her, always helped her. But she determined, I want other lovers in my life. And she became a spiritual adulterer. And it came to the point, God said, today I divorce you. There's a note of sadness that happens in all of our heart as we realize that God divorced. But I'm so thankful that today, we now are the bride of the New Testament. We're His new bride. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And the Lord, that's why I love to bring God. Oh, I love it like what's happening this morning. I love it when we enter into a time of worship and praise, and some of you get a little bit beside yourself. And some of you start doing a little bit of celebrating. I noticed that some of you this morning, you didn't mind being looked like a fool in front of your husband. You love letting him know how much you love him. Because see, he knows what it is to be rejected. But every time he sees me, I want him to know what it is to be accepted. I want God to know how much I love him and how much I care about him. Amen. So it's just real important for us to realize that God understands the pain. God understands the agony. Now I'm going to give you some statistics that are really startling. Things that we can do in our homes to help our homes become more of a spiritual place for the Lord. Now I haven't got to the seven yet. We'll be getting those sometime. The first one I say is 1 in 2 end in divorce. The average of divorce in America. Now let me say Arkansas is a lot higher than that. But in America, 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. But there's one thing that can happen that can bring about change. You can add one thing to that. And it brings to it not 1 out of 2, but it brings to 1 in 50. 1 in 50 end in divorce when both are serving the Lord. That means I can determine in my life I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. I've just moved from a 50% chance of losing my marriage to a 1 to 50 by just serving the Lord together. Oh, you can say that it doesn't mean anything serving God. That's not what the statistics say. They tell us readily that when both are serving the Lord. Then what happens when I add one other thing to it? 1 in 105 end in divorce. If they add one other thing to that, they serve the Lord together and they attend church regularly. Don't let anybody tell you that attending church doesn't mean anything. If it did nothing more than bring the average of a marriage being able to make it, it's worth a lot. Can you say amen?
Amen?
But what happens if you add one other thing to that? If you serve the Lord, you attend church regularly, and you add one other little thing to it, you pray together. Now, I'll be honest with you. For years, this is the one that Lane and I struggled with. Some of you don't have any problem doing that. Now, Lane had a prayer life, and I had a prayer life, but where we really found struggle at was praying together. And the enemy used that insecurity in our life to literally to bring great harm into our marriage. What you've got to determine is, I'm going to grow. Insecurity, get out of my way. Inferiority, get out of my way. Pride, get out of my way. I'm going to grow.
Amen.
And by me growing, I'm going to let my family grow.
Amen.
And I'm going to cause my marriage to be a greater success for the glory of God. Amen. So 1 in 1,000. If they serve the Lord, they attend church regularly, and they pray together. Amen. Now, I'm just going to talk about one. We have just a few minutes. I'm going to talk about the very first spiritual thing that you can do that will help your marriage. The very first thing that you can do is have my spiritual eyes must be open. Won't you say that with me? My spiritual eyes must be open. Now, you may think that you're an expert on marriage. But let me tell you, I've been married 44 years. I cannot tell you how many hundreds that I've counseled. I cannot tell you how many thousands of marriages I've prayed with. But with the exception of a few, it almost is always this. It always starts off with he said or she said. Or it happens he did or she did. And immediately I know when they come out, I say, what's going on? And they said, he did this or she did this. I immediately know that that marriage is doomed unless one of them begins to look deeper than what they can see obviously on the outside. There has to be at least one of them, if that marriage is going to be a success, at least one of them must look deeper than where it is. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Bible tells us, don't look at the obvious. Now, either when you find marriage problems going on, family problems, and even parents toward children, you find somebody that is so focused on the problem. Honey, if you're going to stay focused on that problem is going to carry you down. You'll never do anything focusing on the problem. You've got to look deeper. You've got to begin to focus on an answer for the glory of God. Amen. For the Bible says, for we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. It said, for the things which are seen are temporary. They have no lasting power. Do you understand? The things that you can see have no lasting power. But the things which are not seen, the Bible says they are eternal, or some versions say they have life in them. If you want God to bring life into something that is dead, you've got to quit looking at the obvious and looking beyond the obvious and seeing the realm of the spiritual. Honey, you can fix it all you want to fix out here, but until it gets fixed in here, it's just not going to be right. So you've got to determine that I'm going to be the one. It's not going to be a he said, she said. I'm going to look beyond the obvious. I'm going to look into that the devil tried to get me to focus on. And I'm going to focus my eyes on something that is unseen. Amen. That the Bible says can bring life to that which is seen. This is the year to lay the axe to the very root of the trees. You got to know that. As long as you're just trimming vines, you're going to be trimming vines for the rest of your life. As long as you're just taking your little snippers and snipping off limbs, you're going to be snipping for the rest of your life. But the very moment that God can begin to reveal to you the real problem, and you take that axe and you lay it at the very root of that tree, that thing will change for the glory of God. Amen? Now, if I could show you on screen this morning, I would show you a picture of something like this. And what is simply this picture is the root system is so much bigger. What is unseen is so much bigger than that which is seen. You've got to know that. That which is unseen is so much bigger than what you can see. What's happening in the obvious side is being determined by the unobvious, that is hidden. And one of you has got to come to a place, or at least one of you parents, or someone's got to come to a place to where you say, I'm tired of living a carnal life. I've determined I want to live a spiritual life, and I'm going to begin to live this thing like I'm a believer. I'm going to begin to walk in this thing like I'm a believer. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, but the things that are invisible, I love the same verse, but it's in another version, it says, they are visible, they are deathless. If you want your marriage and your relationship and your family to be deathless, it's determined by you. If you will determine to look at that is not seen, to trust God in that which you can't see. Amen? Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 is a solution to it. There we find Elisha. Elisha has this servant in his relationship status. And this servant, all he can see is the problem. And if you was to ask the servant would say, we're surrounded. Look at the enemy that's come against us. See, some of you, all you can see is those bills that's piling up in that mailbox. Some of you, all you can see is the anger that continues to come out of him. And some of you, all you can see is her words have become a dripping faucet that you can't shut off. But somebody has got to get spiritual. If your family is going to make it, somebody has got to move into the realm of the Spirit. Somebody has got to begin to move into a place where you can touch God. And as long as you're going to stay mad at him, you're never going to touch God. And long as you stay mad at her, you're not going to touch God. The thing about being forgiven is I can forgive. If you can't forgive, I would begin to question whether you're really forgiven. But if you have the power of forgiveness that's worked in your life, if God has forgiven you, you can leap to the front and say, anything anybody does to me, I can forgive them. Because the power of forgiveness is inside me. Amen. So Elisha just prayed, knowing that as long as his servant saw the problem, he was never going to be able to come into agreement with Elisha for the answer. So Elisha prayed. He simply said, Lord, open his eyes. It is amazing what God does through simple prayer. Most wives never say, I wish he'd get his eyes open. Have you prayed for him to get his eyes open? A simple prayer. Just a moment of prayer is all of us here. Elisha just simply said, open his eyes. Now, I don't know where your commitment level is, but God doesn't work miracles in commitment levels that are low. If you're going to get God to work a miracle in your life, you're going to have to have a commitment level that is high. Now, let me tell you about Elaine. Elaine and I had tremendous struggles. Man, we fought like cats and dogs. One thing, I was a cat and she was a dog. But we fought so much. But the thing that made the difference in it, Elaine was determined. She saw how weak I was. I don't know about you. You may have been birthed into this thing strong. Man, you may have been raised in a Christian household, never heard a curse word, never had a drink of beer. You may have been raised in a level to where I don't understand. But I wasn't raised in that kind of household. And where I come from, I was birthed in this thing weak. Now, I had a strong birth. Man, that night in that trailer, kneeling down in front of that television set, when Billy Graham was saying, let me lead you in a prayer, and I prayed that prayer with Billy Graham, and my life, something miraculously happened in me. Amen. But I was as weak as a skunk, man. I was weak as could be. And Lane knew if I was going to make it, she had to pray. Now, the thing about it is, I had been birthed out of a prayer meeting. Because there was these ladies that went to several churches. Now, Jeanette was part of that group. And they saw that my life needed help. So they would meet weekly, and they would pray that I would have a salvation experience. I did. God miraculously. But then Elaine knew how weak I was. So Lane made a commitment to me. She didn't tell me. She wanted to ball me out. But she made a commitment. Her commitment to me was to pray 6 hours a day until God could work a miracle of strength and power inside me. Now, Elaine preaches with a boldness now. But you know where that was birthed? Lane has a love for God's Word. But you know where that was birthed? That wasn't birthed in just her loving the Word. That was birth when she made a decision. And at that time, we was as poor could be. We had one child, and that child, we could not even afford that baby anything laying. What we got an apple box, I believe it was, a cardboard box. And that's what that baby lived in. That was her bed. And I was doing everything I could and just continually trying to make it with God. But she made that commitment. Now, Lane's always been shining light. Man, she'd go anywhere and get a job anywhere she wanted to. But she knew, unless she made a commitment to me in prayer, I would never be a person that could come out. So she prayed for me 6 hours a day. And then somebody says, I wish he'd get his eyes open. Next thing I want to say is, How long have you prayed that his eyes would open? What type of commitment are you really having to your home? What type of commitment are you having? Lane prayed 6 hours a day, and then I became knowledgeable of that. And so I would have a rough day on a job. I mean, I had a lot of rough days on jobs. Now, I worked with rough characters. And so they kept trying to pull me and drag me back into what I was. So I would come to Elaine and would say it like this. I'd say, honey, it's an 8-hour day today, honey. 6 hours not going to get me through. It's going to be 8 hours. And I'll be honest with you, never did she fail. Now, we were fighting like cats and dogs. And she'd tell me she didn't love me out of one breath and then praying for me the next breath. I don't understand how all that works. I don't understand how all that works. But see, you're not the only one with a mixed up family either. But her commitment, she's going to pray me into a place of victory. You've got to come to a place where you're going to take responsibility for what's going on in your life. You've got to come to a place you're going to accept the responsibility of whatever it takes to move your family into the place that God's called it to be. And unless you come to that place, God is not building mansions where people are playing with tiddlywinks. If you're going to see God move, God's going to allow us to see how much your commitment is, how much your commitment level is. You know, some ladies come to me and say, "Oh, my husband this, my husband that," and find out that lady hadn't prayed for him. I said, "Well, do you pray for him?" "Oh, yeah, last week I did." Do you think you're going to ever have a family that walks in victory unless you make a level of commitment to them? My family this morning, I've already been before the Lord. Paul told us how to pray. We're always praying about things on the outside. "Oh God, knock them off their feet." That's hard to pray when those feet are one with you. Do you understand? But that's why our craziness we go. "God, knock them off their feet. Show them, God." Now, Lane and I, we have this little comical thing. When I do something wrong, Rick, she'll say, "You do somebody wrong that never did you wrong, and evil will never leave your house," because that's a scripture in Proverbs. My next thing is, do you know who has to live in this same house with me? Do you understand? You have to come to a place that you make a commitment of whatever it takes. I am willing to commit to have a happy family. This morning, Paul taught us how to pray. Paul taught us in Ephesians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 1 things to pray. Don't pray. If you're praying over outward things, I want you to know outward things will take care of themselves. What you need to pray for is what God needs to do inwardly. That's why Paul said, when you pray, say, and then he gave us the way to pray, that they be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner person. And Paul called it a sin if he didn't pray for people like that. What he knew is people is going to live out here just exactly what they are in here. So you can pray. You can take your little pruning shears and you can shear off all the things that people are doing. And it's never going to change anything. If you're going to see change, you're going to have to come to a place and your commitment to whatever it takes to move God into them inwardly. Already this morning, I've already done an inventory. I was up early praying. I took an inventory of everybody in my house or my family. I knew the ones that were fighting and struggling. I knew the ones that were doing okay. And those that were fighting and struggling, I made sure. I mean, you can pray, but when you want to change things, you're going to pray. There is going to be a sense, the Bible calls it intercession, there will be a sense in your spirit. I almost get to gurgling when I do, you know, "Oh God," you know, I don't know how you do it. But when I began to pray strength into my family that I knew was struggling, I knew their life depended on it. if they were going to be able to walk in victory, if they were going to be able to come out of this, if they were going to be able to come over this, I had to pray a level of strength into them. I had to believe God that God was miraculously moving on the inside of them, creating something in them that wasn't there previously. And I'm here to tell you what, your God may be on a vacation to you, but I tell you what, my God is still the creator. And God is still able to do anything for the glory of God. And what is not there, God can still create it for the glory of God. Amen? Well, there's so many ways we can go with this, so we just better stop there. But I want you to know, God looks at us and God says, how much do you want to be happy? Now see, some of you are so fools, you think you can just go on off and you'll be happy. Wrong, wrong. Happiness does not exist from leaving a line of broken relationships behind you. Happiness won't happen like that. The devil will lie to you. And you're going to say, just get them out of your life. If you didn't have them, your life would be happy. That's a lie. God brought them into my life, and I'm supposed to be the one that discards them? That's wrong. I've got to allow God to be God. And I've got to allow God to bring myself into a place to where I can believe God in them for something powerful and spiritual to take place and to change them from the inside out. Can you say amen? Now, some of you got discouraged when I said, I hesitate. I usually don't tell people about Lane praying 6 hours for me. Because most people say, well, you know, I just don't have that. I'm not saying God's going to ask you for 6 hours. But whatever God is requiring of you, whatever it is that's going to cause your family to move into victory, whatever it takes, you've got to be willing. Because the first question you have to ask yourself on any problem you face, the very first question you got to ask yourself, is God first in my life? Because only if God is first does He guarantee I'll take care of everything else in your life. Whatever happens in your life, the first question you ask yourself, say, is God first? If you say, yes, God, you're first, then that means you're ready for war. You're ready for the battle. You're ready to do whatever it takes. You're ready to believe God however it takes. Amen? 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 You're ready to do it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. We just give You praise. And Lord, I ask You, Father, that You would take the words this morning and, Lord, some way address our lives, Lord. Lord, address our situations. And Lord, I know it's Your will that we would prosper and be blessed. I know it's Your will that my family be blessed. I know it's Your will that my health be blessed. I know it's Your will, God, that I have prosperous relationships in my life. But Father, I ask You, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You would help me. Help me, Lord, to become, to determine, to dig down to the depth of that it will take to turn this tide for the glory of God. In Jesus' powerful name.